You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour. We transition now and shift our focus a little bit from the midterm previews to what's going on with Elon Musk and NBA superstar Kyrie Irving and still the fallout from Kanye West. And to help us navigate these truly murky waters is John Friend. He is the associate editor of the Barnes Review, among other things.
Barnes Review, if you don't know, is probably the premier revisionist history publication in the world at this time, in my opinion.
It is, and we're going to give you that contact information. We're certainly going to plug that hard. But he's going to talk with us about the noticing, the things that are going on between two erstwhile support groups of the regime, and how might such fissures impact the political landscape going forward. And what we're talking about here, John, well, first of all, John, welcome back. It's great to have you, particularly on this topic. You were the guy I wanted to have on for this.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it, James, and Keith, for that matter. And you know what? I just got to tip my hat. It's always an honor to be on with you guys. You guys are tremendous pro-white advocates. And the way you conduct yourselves is, it's very clear you're very honest, have the most integrity and professional and just respectable and responsible demeanor, the way you carry yourself. So, and I think that's very, very important when discussing these extremely controversial and taboo topics, which obviously they are. I mean, discussing anything from a pro-white perspective, discussing the Jewish problem or the Jewish question is, again, like the most taboo topic in society. And I think you guys do it very, very well, as your guests do. Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's my position on that, John, and I appreciate what you're saying. And, of course, that is reciprocated tenfold to you and to Paul Angel and the work that you do at Realist Report, of course, the Barnes Review as well. But the situation is this with that, with regards to Jewish control of the media. I have read from their publications where they say that they do control it, and I agree with them. I am reading now, this is from 2012, The Times of Israel, an op-ed written by Manny Friedman. The headline is, Jews do control the media, and the word do is capitalized. And he writes that we're a driven group. He talks about the control of the media, how AIPAC essentially controls Washington. He said, but the funny part is when an anti-Semite or an anti-Israel person starts to spout things off like Jews control the media and Jews control Washington, we're suddenly up in arms. We create huge campaigns to take these people down. We do what we can to put them out of work. We publish articles. We've created entire organizations that exist just to tell everyone that we control nothing.
But, right, yeah.
So this is what's going on with Kanye West. Now, we've talked about Kanye West before, so we're not going to rehash everything that he has said and the fallout directed at him, because there are two new players now in this saga, and that is Elon Musk and NBA superstar Kyrie Irving.
And Elon is really key because he is a gatekeeper with Twitter. But basically with Kanye and with Kyrie, they're telling you that you cannot be a black singer or entertainer, that's Kanye, or play professional basketball if you're Kyrie Irving, unless you toe the party line and influence.
I think the thing is, with that power structure that you mentioned, Keith, if you cross it, you will lose your career. You will be trashed by the media as a mentally ill conspiracy theorist. And what did Kanye West said except that they had a disproportionate amount of control? That's the only thing I remember him saying. They say the same things in their publications. And again, I arrived at my conclusion because I take them at their word. The message is loud and clear, though, John. If you publicly criticize Jewish leaders, this is what's going to happen to you. And
nobody apparently
is too big, not the richest man in the world, not the richest black man in the world. And this is, of course, nothing new. I'm going to read John chapter 7, verse 13 from the King James Version, because that's, of course, how the Lord spoke it. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him being Jesus Christ, for fear of the Jews. So this is a story as old as time, but where do we stand now, John? What do you make of all of this? Because the blacks are really beginning to take notice.
Are we going to see a real sea change this time? Or is this going to just be another situation where, when all is said and done, more will be said than done?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, time will tell. I mean, certainly I think it's anytime, you know, a situation like this unfolds, I think it's very important for all of us to do whatever we can to propagate this message, to get out these basic facts, these basic truths. And you know, honestly, that's what has always been so amazing and so incredible to me. I mean, I've been saying these basic things, you know, it just basically pointing out the reality of Jewish power and influence in society, in the world, throughout history, in our government, in our media, in our educational establishment, in our banking system. I mean, in basically every aspect
every
of society.
Institution.
And this is something that, I mean, I remember the late, great Michael Collins Piper, God rest his soul, he was a huge influence on my thinking and just on my development in general, learning about these subjects. And also Dr. David Duke as well. And I would listen to the radio broadcast when I was, you know, you know 10 years ago when I was much younger. And these guys would literally just like read from Jewish publications, read from the Times of Israel, as you were quoting earlier, James, or the Jewish Daily Forward, or the Jewish Telegraph Agency, or any number of like explicitly Israeli-based newspapers or news outlets or whatever. And, you know, they openly admit and boast and document these basic facts, you know, that they do in fact control the media, for example, or whatever else. And in many cases, they openly brag about it. And then when you go around and point it out and criticize it and just try to discuss it openly and honestly, you're denounced as this hateful, anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist. And you see the way that they always tie it to violence. That, you know, saying these things is going to lead to another Holocaust. It's going to lead to violence against Jews. It's going to lead to a random terrorist attack against Jews or whatever. You know, they're basically what they're saying is that, quote unquote, free speech, you know, people like openly talking about the Jews is a form of violence in itself. It's a form of terrorism. That's the way it's framed. And this whole situation, this whole scenario unfolding with Elon Musk and Yee and Kyrie Irving, it really just underscores the fact that Jewish power and influence remains the number one topic to really understand the world, to understand the way the world works, to understand who's really in charge, who's really in control. And it's the one topic you're really not allowed to openly investigate, let alone discuss. And I mean, when you stop and think about it, America is supposed to be a free country. We have free speech enshrined in the First Amendment. And do we really have free speech? We have not had genuine free speech in this country since World War II, probably even before that. Because in my view, the true measure of free speech in America, or really anywhere in the world for that matter, is the ability to openly criticize Jews, to openly state basic facts that are very well documented. It's not some crazy conspiracy theory. Again, in many cases, you can go and quote Jews themselves, whether it's in a Jewish news publication or an interview with a Jewish thinker or journalist or entertainer or musician or whatever, or a Jewish author writing a book. You know, there's a book called Jewish Power. J.J. Goldberg, I believe, is the author. I mean, it's incredible, some of these things, and people just don't know about them. You know, you're not allowed to talk about it. But again, that is the defining aspect of what genuine free speech is, the ability to openly talk about these things.
If you cannot criticize
it's clear we don't
everyone,
have free speech.
Like Voltaire said, if you want to know who rules over you, ask who you cannot criticize.
If you cannot criticize everyone, any individual, any organization, then you have no freedom of speech, and we know that. But when we come back, we've talked about Kanye. I think you pretty well know, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience, what's going on with that story. I'm going to tell you about what's going on with this NBA player Kyrie Irving and then Elon Musk with John Friend next.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Welcome back, everybody. John Friend, our third and final guest tonight. Check out barnesreview.org, B-A-R-N-E-S, barnesreview.org. I am a subscriber. You should be, too. John is the associate editor of the Barnes Review. He is representing them tonight, that wonderful publication. John also is an independent journalist as well. We'll give you all of his personal contact information in just a moment. We're talking with John about the noticing and what's going on here in recent weeks. Now,
let me say this, too, before we can get started on this. The Barnes Review ties it right in with this. For example, Putin is cowed about talking about Jewish power and influence, and after reading the Barnes Review, I would ask, how can he even begin to understand the history of his own nation if he doesn't discuss Jewish power and influence? Where do you think the Bolshevik Revolution came from? The Eskimos or the Laplanders or what? You know, it's crazy. But this is a worldwide phenomenon, isn't it, John?
Very quickly, I want to get back to the topic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, as I said, I mean, this is like the number one issue facing humanity. And, you know, sometimes it's like you feel like you're very lonely out here, like, you know, the only one, like, aware of these things. But that's quickly changing. And I think, again, anytime we have an opportunity to spread this message, to get people openly talking about just saying the word Jew and just understanding the role that they play in society and seeing the way they wield their power and influence and seeing their agenda being exposed, seeing the way that they literally operate like gangsters, extorting some of the most wealthy people in the world and some of the most wealthy organizations in the world, and literally dictating what you can and cannot say on all these social media platforms, which, you know, in our modern times is basically the public, you know, the public space, essentially. This is where conversations are being had, and they control what is allowed on these platforms, and that is totally unacceptable and totally contrary to the concepts of to the very concept of free speech. I mean, again, if you cannot question and critically investigate any topic, I mean, I would especially argue World War II and the alleged Jewish Holocaust narrative. If you can't question these topics, if you can't, again, openly talk about Jewish power and influence, if you can't question 9/11, if you can't question and openly and honestly investigate very controversial events like the alleged Sandy Hook shooting, or did we go to the moon, or the flat earth, or any of these other topics, we should be able to openly talk about and investigate any topic out there. And these people are basically denying that to us. Yeah.
So here you have now, if you don't know much about NBA basketball, I don't blame you. But if you do follow it at all, you know that Kyrie Irving is an NBA superstar. He is a perennial all-star. He's an NBA champion. He's one of the most popular NBA players in the world.
And his whole livelihood is being threatened now by Jewish power and influence.
Well, here's what happened. And John, in an email with John this week, he pared it down quite nicely. So this is a very talented NBA player. He refused the COVID vaccine, so he wasn't able to play all of last year. I think at the very end of the season, he was able to come back because some of the restrictions were lifted. But he never bucked, and he never broke on that. And now he has posted something to one of his social media accounts about what's the name of the movie, John?
Ooh, you know what? I'm actually not even sure off the top of my head. I know it's like one of these like black Hebrews Hebrew Israelite type.
Yeah, I think the actual title is Hebrews to Negroes is the name of it, and it's okay. A black Hebrew Israelite type message about Jews owning the slave ships and things like that, and he's being denounced and
which is absolutely true and factual, by the way.
Dismissed from the team force.
There would not have been blacks in North America as slaves without the Jewish involvement.
The Brooklyn Nets owner and the NBA itself have dismissed Kyrie until he does a penance, and so this is what's going on. He is now, like Kanye West, being publicly shamed. He publicly criticized Jews. A Jewish writer for the USA Today who admitted it, who put in the article that I'm Jewish and I'm going to say this, immediately called him to be banned from the league. So the fissures are widening. In order for him to return to his team, the team that he stars on, he has to complete, quote, a series of objective remedial measures before returning the team.
He's got to shuck and jive, in other words.
Well, here's what they are. The list of requirements that Irving will need to complete in order to rejoin the team are, per ESPN, he must issue a public statement. And he didn't even actually say anything about the video. He just posted it. He posted a link to it. And by the way, because of that, it is number one in sales on Amazon. Did you know that? Blacks are buying this movie. Yeah. Blacks are seeing what's going on. We're going to talk about that in a second. But he must issue a public statement recognizing that the film he promoted is anti-Semitic. He must apologize for supporting the film and the anti-Semitic tropes it includes. And finally, he must attend training sessions focusing on the danger of hate speech, as well as meet regularly with Brooklyn Jewish leaders. Now, here's my position on that. What should we do as white advocates? My advice and what I am doing is closing ranks. People would say, well, James, he wouldn't stand with you on anything. He wouldn't stand with you on preserving the Nathan Bedford Forrest Monument. He wouldn't stand with you. My thing is, I don't care. My position on any, my question that informs
stand alone
is on any issue is it good for our people? I don't care what Kyrie Irving or Kanye West would do anywhere else. But on this particular question, it is best for our people if we close ranks in solidarity. And so I have.
And this is where they draw the line. If the line can be drawn here, and let's say blacks say, we're not going to be buck broke by the Jews on this issue. We're going to protest at NBA games. We're going to make this a big deal. We're not going to be pushed around.
I'd like to see them do that, but
wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what needs to happen.
It looks like, John, and we were talking about this before the show, that blacks are speaking out. They've been told, they've been so entitled that anything that they say is solid gold, that they're not shutting up about this. And I've tweeted with the hashtags. I stand with Kyrie, boycott the NBA. And if you go to these hashtags, free Kyrie Irving, I stand with Kyrie, I stand with Kyrie Irving, you will see countless comments from social media.
Do like Colin Kaepernick. From
blacks. Well, we're going to talk about that in a second, too. From blacks saying, Jews, 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 Jews. They see and know what's going on. And I've thrown in, and I have never had such interaction with blacks on social media. I said only a slave would agree to this, to these conditions. Blacks are like patting me on the back. I was like, what, are we friends now? What's going on here? But there is something going on. There is something. If you're just living your daily life and you're just going about your work and home, there is something really going on underneath the surface here that I think is quite interesting.
This is a great opportunity to take on Jewish power and influence head on with one of their favored groups and have these people come out and start doing like Colin Kaepernick, taking a knee, refusing to, bow to their system. And this could be a real watershed moment.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. And I think that's what's so important especially with what Kanye West, the way he's handled this entire controversy from the very beginning. I mean, some of the things, you know, I follow him on Twitter, you know, I've seen some of the interviews, at least clips of them. And, he's probably not the most well-spoken guy. He says some things that I wouldn't agree with or wouldn't go along with. But James, I completely agree with your assessment. Your overall like practical take with this, and I think that's extremely important. I mean, we need to be all on board with this whole entire situation and doing whatever we can to continue to expose this message. And that's exactly, you know, my sort of mindset. And it's interesting the way Kanye especially, I mean, he's not only basically exposed the reality of Jewish power and influence in his industry, you know, in the broader society, but he's basically exposing the fact that all of these pro athletes and these entertainers and, you know, these basically all these celebrities have literal Jewish handlers manipulating them, exploiting them, controlling them, and, you know, basically drugging them if they get out of line, in his case. I mean, this is incredible. And he's, you know,
this is a Lexington and Concord moment, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of looking at it, frankly. And, you know, you've seen, like, all of these total sellout black celebrities come out and denounce Kyrie Irving.
Oh, but this is, and that's another thing, John, that the blacks are mentioning in their social media. They're calling out, you know, blacks like Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley as Uncle Toms, and, you know, they're serving their Jewish masters. I mean, I'm seeing this all over black social media as they're patting me on the back for, like, defending their guy here, and I'm like, well, all right. I guess absolutely, we're allies on this one.
Well, and Kanye even went out there. I mean, he talk about naming them. I mean, he's literally out there, for example, naming a guy Jamie Salter, who basically controls Shaquille O'Neal. And, you know, he posted his photograph, posted some pretty damning information. And, you know, I had never heard of this guy, Jamie Salter, before, but I just Googled him. And one of the first articles that came up was an article in the Jewish Telegraph Agency, an explicitly, you know, obviously a Jewish publication written by Jews for Jews. And it's an article headlined, Shaquille O'Neal Dances the Hora at a Jewish Wedding, talking about his relationship with Jamie Salter.
I got one right here from Kanye West, a direct response to Shaq and Charles Barkley. They make us bully ourselves. They make us fight each other because of our business alignments. But God has put something on my heart not to back down. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, Shaq and Charles are employed by Turner Sports, which isn't run by Ted Turner anymore. And this is where it's at. So we'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Both Democrats and Republicans are bringing their heavy hitters to Pennsylvania this weekend, with former President Donald Trump set to appear at a rally in Latrobe for Senate candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz Saturday night. Former President Barack Obama made his own appearance at the Democratic Senate candidate John Fetterman's rally in Pittsburgh Saturday morning, urging Pennsylvania's Democrats to vote for candidates like Fetterman, he says represents their state's best interests in Washington.
The only way to save democracy is if we together fight for it. And it starts with electing people who know you, who see you, who care about you.
Watch for a new intelligence report on UFOs.
A new defense intelligence report on UFOs is expected to be released in the next few days. The report describes recent incidents of unidentified flying objects and the explanations behind the sightings, including drone flights and weather balloons. The report could reveal if any of the UFOs are advanced spy craft flown by other countries. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Representative Johanna Hayes, Democrat of Connecticut, won her seat in Congress in 2018. On the final weekend before Election Day, Georgia GOP Senate candidate Herschel Walker held one of his last rallies and speeches Saturday at a pregame event at his alma mater, the University of Georgia, urging Georgians to vote. Using football analogies, Walker encouraged voters to consider the Republican candidates, the A-team, ahead of Warnock and other Democratic candidates.
We stay together. We stay together, we can get this thing worked out. Yes. But what has happened right now is we got the C team in. We got the C team in that's lying to you. And they keep wanting to tell you that they're doing good, but they're not. They're lying to you right now.
This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
Four out of five employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, back with John Friend talking about the situations involving Kanye West, Kyrie Irving, and we'll soon be talking about Elon Musk, what's going on there. But this is really unprecedented, I think, in some ways. These rich black men, the richest black man in the world, Kanye West, an NBA superstar, losing everything because they got out of line with their masters. And Ethan Ralph, who's somebody that I mutually follow on Twitter, writes that, "I hope that Kyrie sues the Nets and the NBA for $500 million. This is absolutely insane. All he did was like a movie. He posted a link to a movie. All right, that's all he did. And so this is Michael Tracy, John, writing, another journalist on Twitter. The corporate ownership of the Brooklyn Nets just declared Kyrie Irving unfit to be associated with the team and suspended him. I assumed he must have said something really crazy. All he did was link to a movie. I'm going to read now from establishment news reports. The team announced on Thursday that Irving would be suspended for a minimum of 5 games. Now, he's suspended for 5 games no matter what. He can come back after 5 games if he does some certain things, and we just read what those things are, as he is currently unfit to be associated with the Brooklyn Nets, quote-unquote, having publicized a film that contains deeply disturbing anti-Semitic hate. In order to return, Irving will have to satisfy a series of objective remedial measures that address the harmful impact of his conduct, according to the press release. One of these remedial measures, so says the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, is to meet with Jewish leaders. And the ADL demanded a meeting as well, but Irving didn't show up for it. He sent his stepmother instead. He sent his stepmother to meet with the ADL. And then Jonathan Greenblatt said, "We were optimistic, but after watching the debacle of a press conference, it's clear that Kyrie feels no accountability for his actions if he is open to a direct dialogue to repair the harm that he has caused."
Well, look at what this is. Okay?
And he needs to engage in healing, Keith, and in understanding.
Well, I'll tell you what, these people are just unbelievable. God.
Let's just break this down. This is what they want him to bring his shoeshine box and his polish with him to shine Greenblatt's shoes, okay? And I think what he ought to do is say, "No, Greenblatt, you shine my shoes. We're not going to do this." And then bring out the whole who do you think watches the NBA? Who do you think is their primary fan base?
I'll tell you, I got an answer for that. In the stands, it's almost 100% white, but on TV, it's 50% black. It's majority black on TV.
And if the black community came out en masse against the NBA would have to buckle.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They don't typically organize themselves. that's the thing, though. That's the million-dollar question, John.
The Jews organized the blacks is what's been going on for a very long
time. Right, going back to the civil rights era and all of that. Yeah, so we know that. But, I mean, the question is, though, have they overplayed their hand this time, or can moguls like Kanye West and Kyrie Irving, who's worth $1 billion nearly, I think, no, excuse me, Kanye West is a billionaire, or at least was. Kyrie Irving has earned $90 million in his own right. So, I mean, these people have the FU money, as it were. But, I mean, have they overplayed their hands, or will they be able to beat these guys into submission and this all just be brushed under the rug? This is a big test on how powerful and influential the power and influence is. Because I'm telling you, blacks are noticing.
Putting your money where your mouth is.
What do you think, John?
You know, it's an interesting question. I mean, again, time will tell. I mean, look, I've said this before. I've elaborated on this at length. I mean, a guy like former President Trump had all the potential in the world to really, really do some big-time things, you know, running as a candidate and then getting into office. And, you know, frankly, it was a huge disappointment. And it was just a disaster, pretty much. And so there's always the potential. It's just, you know, a matter of somebody stepping up to the plate and, you know, doing what's right and standing up for the truth. And thus far, of any of the individuals we've discussed this entire program, I think Kanye West is the one that really shows the most potential to, you know, to continue to stand firm and to stand up for what he believes in, and to continue to expose these people. So I mean, there's
Muslims?
Always the potential.
Do you think they should get involved?
Well, I mean, it's not even the black Muslim. I mean, it's just all, you know, if you go to social media, it's just rank and file blacks across America that are naming and shaming these people.
Well, somebody needs to be the leader. You know, whether they say lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Kyrie Irving, we'll know within a couple of weeks. We'll know within five games is about a week and a half in the NBA schedule. We'll know within the next few days if he's going to yes, master, or if he's going to, you know what, he should retire.
How
made $100 million. He should retire and sue the NBA and make this as publicly and costly as possible. He's already won a championship.
I agree.
10 years in the league.
I agree. I mean, look, I mean, there are things in life that are bigger than money. They're bigger than your career. The truth matters. And I mean, think about it. Think about how, like, just humiliating this has to be for this man. You know, to be treated this way, and for Kanye West, for that matter. You know, I was actually going to read a tweet that that Kanye posted. Are you familiar with his trainer, this Jewish guy?
Tell
Harvey
us a little
Pasternak?
Bit about that. I am.
I didn't know much about this guy at all. I mean, I just came across this the other day, but apparently he's this big Jewish fitness guru that, you know, trains and basically from some of the allegations that Kanye West is making, he's one of these like Jewish handlers that deals with, you know, high profile celebrities to keep them in line and will force medicate them. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Kanye is openly exposing this guy, and apparently he works with all sorts of celebrities. Again, I'm looking at an article from the Jewish Daily Forward, not some crazy blog, you know, some anti-Semitic website or something. This is from the Jewish Daily Forward, one of the most reputable and one of the oldest Jewish publications in America. And the headline is Harley Pasternak, Jewish Fitness Trainer to the Stars. And, you know, it's basically explaining how he's connected to all these high-profile Hollywood people and you know, athletes and things like this. And apparently, this guy is Canadian and was like tied into the Canadian military. And I haven't looked into all the details, but apparently, he was involved in some very, very suspicious things with the Canadian military and the intelligence services. But Kanye Mossad. West took a, well, probably. I mean, Jews are all basically, you know, somehow connected to Israel or have that potential to be connected to Israel due to their Jewish ethnic identity. He took a screenshot of a text message that this guy Harley sent to him. And I don't know exactly when this was. I don't think this was recently. But this guy is basically threatening Kanye West to be – here's a direct quote. So first off, he says, I'm going to help you one of a couple ways. First, you and I sit down and have a loving and open conversation, but you don't use curse words, and everything that is discussed is based in fact. And what he means by that is Jewish approved, essentially. And not some crazy stuff that dumb friend of yours told you or you saw in a tweet. The second option, on the other hand, I have you institutionalized again, where they medicate the crap out of you and you go back to zombie land forever. Can you imagine? This is what these people have
it's
to
incredible.
Deal with. I mean,
it
is just outrageous.
Motor Incorporated or the Syndicate talking almost.
Well, exactly. And the fact that Kanye West is tweeting about this and exposing this is so huge. And
he's screenshotting the exact message.
Text message. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I find this very credible. I mean, I have no way of verifying this if this, you know, did actually come from Kanye West's phone, but I find this very, very credible. And, you know, of course, you see
well,
the way
it certainly came from Kanye West's social media account. There's no doubt about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
he's
this
the one
is
posting.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is absolutely a direct message from this guy, as far as
it
I'm concerned.
It makes Al Capone look like Rod McEwen.
Well, so, but I guess what's interesting is that this is very, very common. This is par for the course. This is how these people operate in Hollywood. And, you know, again, it goes back, like you had asked about, you know, is there the potential for, you know, for these, you know, one of these guys to like go rogue and just totally.
Yeah, but here's the thing, John. The thing is, they've gone after the richest man in the world, the richest black man in the world, and an NBA superstar in a month. You know, is there any chance that this could backfire? Are they proving the stereotypes true? Could it backfire? Is it too much for them to bite off at one time? Or are they that strong?
Well, I mean, I'd like to again, there's that potential for sure. I mean, they have exposed themselves repeatedly. All you have to do is follow the ADL. Go to ADL.org and sign up for their email updates. And just read what these people are openly writing and talking about.
You're right.
There's no subtlety at all.
There's no subtlety. I mean, these people are very explicit. And one thing that's really bothered me is the way conservatives and well, it's mostly like you're sort of cuckservatives. They portray the ADL as like a liberal, like woke organization. The ADL is an explicitly Jewish supremacist organization. It is not liberal. It is not conservative. It is pro-Zionist. It is anti-white. It is Jewish supremacist. It is fundamentally concerned with shutting down any form of quote-unquote anti-Semitism, which in their mind, the way they frame it, the way they discuss it, the way they study it, the way they conduct surveys around the world to gauge quote-unquote anti-Semitic attitudes is how much people actually know about the Jews. How many people recognize the power that Jews have in society, in the government? That's the way it's framed. That's the way they understand it. And that's what they're primarily focused on.
And the thing about the Jewish power is, okay, so they have this power. They say they have it. I agree with them. Is it good or bad? It depends on your perspective. If they were doing all of the things that I agree with, I'd be the one in favor of Jewish power and influence. But unfortunately, they're not. We'll be right back. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
One final segment in what has been a barn burner of a show. I want to thank again all of our guests tonight, Brad Griffin, Jose Nino, and of course right now with us, John Friend. You know what's going on with with Kanye West. We've shed a little bit of light of what's going on with Kyrie Irving, the NBA player, this hour. And I like what Ramsey Paul said. I mean, this is a guy that's being suspended without pay until he says he's sorry for liking a movie. I mean, this is where we are in America now, folks. One of the NBA's biggest stars. This isn't some scrub at the end of the
day. We saved the best for last. So the guy who is the real gatekeeper, the owner of Twitter.
Yeah, so Elon Musk, John, I just got to say one more time, half tongue in cheek, but seriously, I have never been patted on the back and celebrated by the black community as much as I have been the last couple of days. It's really been popping on Twitter, and so I want to thank them for that. I tell you what, politics makes strange bedfellows sometimes. all of the differences stay. They all stay, ladies and gentlemen. They all keep. I'm not forgetting anything. But on this one, I am going to close ranks. It's the practical and pragmatic thing to do. It's what's best for our people. Let's stand with Kyrie Irving and Kanye West on this question. But with regards to Elon Musk,
So,
when he took over Twitter last week, the ADL released their press release. They are profoundly, that's the word they use, profoundly concerned about the rise of anti-Semitic hate on the platform. And Elon Musk sort of waffled there for a minute, and he offered the ADL, he was on a Zoom call with them, he wanted to heal and understand, you know, everything, and he offered them, I believe it was attributed that he had offered them a seat on his content moderation council or board of advisory. And before they could even sit down, the ADL stabbed him in the back using his own platform, by the way, which is a violation of any legitimate terms of service. You can't use somebody's platform and use it as a means to take away their bread. But that's what the ADL is doing. And I've got the ADL quote right here.
Trying to run away all their advertisers.
Yes, today, this is the ADL's official Twitter handle. Today, we are joining dozens of other groups to ask advertisers to pause Twitter spending because we are, well, here's the word again, profoundly concerned about anti-Semitism and hate on the platform. Here's why we're asking advertisers to hashtag stop hate for profit and hashtag stop toxic Twitter. Michael Tracy, again, we quoted him earlier, the journalist writes, this is a group that is an unmitigated extortion racket. Politicians, CEOs, celebrities, other public figures are compelled to grovel for their approval and pledge massive donations for fear of being labeled an official bad person. And even Elon Musk did this before the groveling spectacularly backfired. Interestingly, though, in the case of Elon Musk, after the ADL began to use his own platform to bankrupt him, I've got it right here. Elon Musk wrote this on Twitter. Twitter had a massive revenue drop due to activists. He's calling them activist groups, and that's certainly putting it gently. Activist groups pressuring advertisers, even though nothing has changed with content moderation, and we did everything we could to appease these activists. Well, of course, you know, John, appeasement never works. You cannot deal in good faith with liars and extortionists. Elon Musk, though, continues, this is extremely messed up. They're going to destroy free speech in America. To which someone replied, it's time to stop appeasing the activists because they will stop at nothing to hurt Twitter regardless of what you do. To which Elon Musk replied, you're right. Has Elon Musk seen the light? Do you think he will go back to the table with the ADL after this? Or do you think he's going to dig his heels in come what may?
Boy, I sure hope he does. I mean, I frankly don't have a lot of trust or faith in Elon Musk. I don't know a whole lot about the guy. I find him a bit mysterious. I'm a bit skeptical of him. He does say some interesting things. I mean, he's like one of these like Trump figures. They'll say and tweet some interesting things that get people riled up.
John, he cannot be worse than the alternative. He wouldn't have been worse than Hillary. He wouldn't have been worse than the previous regime at Twitter.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. That being said, he still does, you know, he has, at least as far as I know, kept in place a lot of the key people, including a truly despicable gay Jew, an anti-white gay Jew, Yoel Roth, I believe is his name, who's like the head of trust and safety for Twitter. I mean, this is just
And he's written all kinds of anti-white, true anti-white discriminatory hate.
Well, and that's blowing up all over Twitter. Yeah, and that's blowing up all over Twitter. And people sort of normie, like conservatives, MAGA type people, are tweeting these sorts of messages at Elon Musk directly anytime he tweets. And I mean, just the fact that, see, and again, this goes back to the question, you know, when we were talking about Kyrie Irving and Kanye West and Elon Musk and Donald Trump for that matter. I mean, these guys are very powerful. They obviously have a lot of influence in society. They have a lot of prestige. They have a lot of money. When is enough enough? I mean, are you going to continue to let these Jewish gangsters push you around, humiliate you in front of the entire world, you know, treat you as if you're some slave? Or are you going to stand up and do what's right and call these people out? And just the fact, and I put a tweet out, replying to Elon Musk in the Twitter that you just quoted him, he's describing them as activist groups. These are not activist groups. They are explicitly anti-white, anti-American, Jewish supremacist groups spearheaded by the ADL. And this is obvious. I mean, you go on the ADL's Twitter feed and they're openly admitting this. So why don't we call a spade a spade? There's nobody else organizing this boycott campaign aside from the ADL. Sure, they've got a whole bunch of other groups, you know, sort of working with them, but they're the ones spearheading this. Why do Jews get to dictate what is free speech in America and what's allowed on major social media platforms like Twitter?
What? Because money talks and bullshit walks, okay? That's what it is.
Well, and that's true. And also, when they have institutionalized fake narratives of history to guilt trip everybody, like the alleged Jewish Holocaust, which they constantly invoke. I mean, anytime, you know, you look at the ADL or Jonathan Greenblatt, it's like they inevitably will invoke the Holocaust story as if somehow that relates to what's going on today. It's like their go-to. And it really is like this mind control program that they use to just control society and to bully all these people. So when is enough enough? I mean, Elon Musk, are you going to continue to allow yourself to be humiliated and treated as if you are just some irrelevant, you know, slave by these Jews like Jonathan Greenblatt?
Well, this is what Brad Griffin, who was our guest at the top of the show, John, wrote about this issue. Imagine thinking you can never compromise or satisfy Jonathan Greenblatt. You have two doors. Door number one, you stand your ground, you lose your advertisers, you get blackballed like Tucker Carlson, Kanye, or Andrew Torba. Or door number two, you cave and you get mounted on the wall as a trophy after ritual shaming in the Jewish media. That's the way
right.
It's going to go. It's going to go one of those two ways. And I like what Joe Sobrin said. Just a quick quote from Joe Sobrin, who was on this program before his passing many years ago. A hypocritical etiquette forces us to pretend that the Jews are powerless victims, and if you don't respect their victimhood, they'll destroy you.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, and let's be clear. I mean, you know, despite my reservations about Elon Musk, he's clearly a very, very talented, intelligent individual. Does he not have any alternative? I mean, this guy could do whatever he wants. What, you know, I mean, so what if these people boycott you? Come up with a different alternative. You know, you're a very, like, he's like one of the best businessmen in the world, frankly. I mean, you know, it's not as if his, you know, he can't come up with a different alternative or a different strategy if he really wanted to take on these people. And I think that would resonate with so many people. And that's the thing with, you know, with Trump going back to 2016, the American people, the people of the world are just waiting for somebody to stand up and tell the truth. And we will rally behind them, whether that's Kanye West or Elon Musk or, you know, potentially Donald Trump again or anybody else for that matter. You know, we have our,
okay, John,
our view. Yeah.
Let me just ask you this. What do Kyrie Irving, Kanye West, and Elon Musk all have in common? They're all African-American.
Okay, good one. Yes, yes, yes.
And they're being
so
treated
true.
Like African-Americans
so
by
true.
Jewish
yeah.
power.
Well, I got this. This just since we came on the show, since you came on, John, broke as a news story. So here you have LeBron James now wringing his hands saying how much harm and hurt the hateful words of Kyrie Irving. I don't even think Kyrie said anything.
This is so pathetic.
So this is a guy, this boy, you know, these fake tough guys. LeBron, you ain't a tough guy. You're a boy. You're on the plantation.
You're the shoeshine
with
boy.
Shaq and Charles. And listen, I got a lot of respect for anybody that won't buckle. I don't care who you are or what you are.
Absolutely.
You're in the camp with me on this one and with people like the John Friend and others who have been, yeah, but you're talking about the most powerful people in the world, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, Kanye West. They're going straight after him head for head. I tell you what, I mean,
right.
if they can buck him, if they can break him, I'll tip my hat.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I completely agree. And again, it goes back to the question, I mean, what is life all about? I mean, it really, is it all about money and your career and your fame and your legacy? Or are there deeper things like truth and justice and honor and integrity? And in my view, and in many, you know, many other people's views, those are more important concepts in life. And if one person like Elon Musk or Kanye, well, I think Kanye West out of all of them has the most potential to actually stick by his guns and stand up to these people. I'm frankly not that optimistic about Elon Musk, but who knows? Again, there's always that potential. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But in the meantime, I think we should definitely be doing everything we can to sort of, I know it's maybe not a proper word, but to sort of like exploit the situation and raise the most ruckus that we can, you know, expose the truth in whatever way we can. And that goes for everybody, you know, regardless of what they're doing. If they just have like a random Twitter account, you know, go on there and talk about these things. And I would recommend don't do it in a way that's going to alienate people, but, you know, just talk about it responsibly, professionally, with some integrity.
And that resonates with people. It really does. This Jewish power and influence, if it was being used to advance our issues, I'd be their biggest cheerleader, but it's not. And so, look, at the end of the day, you can either criticize and offend everyone, or you have no freedom of speech, and that's what these media moguls are learning that are stepping out of bounds.
Let me say this. African-Americans of the world, unite.
Yes, sir.
Hey, John Friend, thanks so much. Hey, barnesreview.org, folks. Barnes Review, B-A-R-N-E-S, barnesreview.org. Do like I do and become a subscriber. John is the associate editor, and you can find him also at The Realist Report. Just check him out on Twitter. And if you go to the top of my Twitter handle, you can link over to his and follow all of his great work there. Independent journalist in his own right, in addition to the work he does at the Barnes Review. And, John, it's always good to talk to you and catch up with you. Godspeed, my friend. We're in for interesting times, I can tell you that.
Thank you, sir. God bless you guys.
You too.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, the midterms will be over when we come back, so we'll have a post-midterm election wrap-up.
Post-mortem. Good.